Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Obviously, get your questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But first, guys, let's talk about yesterday. The team was back on the field for practice. Sark also took the mic right after that for a press conference. What's your takeaways from yesterday?
Hey, look, I think Steve Sarkisian's got a situation right now where he's going at it with double barrels. he's got two more practices for the rest of the year. Clearly, he saw some things in the scrimmage. Based on what I heard yesterday, saw some things in the scrimmage that he liked, and saw some things in the scrimmage on Saturday that he wanted to improve. Right, and he was pretty. I think he was pretty frank. I mean, he usually is up front with the media, in my opinion, if not a little reserved. But he clearly, guys, was on it yesterday, ready to go to work. I felt like, and Jerry, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but it seemed like he had a couple of guys that he was excited about, but then a couple of guys or situations where he wanted to see improved. He mentioned right off the bat the improving nature of the receivers as a group and their work or chemistry with Quinn Ewers, which is something we talked about on Saturday that needed some help and needed some positive polish, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, you know, I thought he singled out some guys on defense from the scrimmage that I thought was very interesting. Obviously, we had reported that Manny Muhammad, he's had a great spring, had another strong scrimmage on Saturday, you know, had an interception. But I think you're seeing, he's talked a little bit about Jare Bledsoe, right? I mean, so you're starting to hear some of these names more and more this spring for guys. Trey Moore, Colin Simmons, obviously, continue to get a lot of mention. Probably one of the things that led Billy Walton to announced he was going to enter the NCAA transfer portal. But he mentioned how strong – he mentioned that Arch had his best practice of the spring on Tuesday, coming off a scrimmage that wasn't his best, and mentioned that Quinn had a great scrimmage on Saturday. So, look, Sark remains very confident, Coach. I think they really like where they're at. I think they love the talent in the program. I think they like the buy-in in the program quite a bit. And now we'll see if the weather will hold off for us here on Saturday, but there's one more practice on Thursday, which will be a light practice before the spring game on Saturday.
Yeah. Just so you know, there's a couple things on Thursday to be aware of. The Lettermen come in each and every year, for a golf tournament on Friday mornings. They're invited to the Thursday practice as well. So you'll actually see some Lettermen out at practice on Thursday. Then they'll have the golf tournament and a banquet of sorts on Friday and Friday afternoon, early evening. And then obviously the festivities on Saturday pregame. Jerry, I'm in Austin right now, and it was overcast almost all day yesterday, and it's overcast again this morning. We've got to hope that the weather holds off here a little bit, because the chance for thunderstorms right now in Austin on Saturday, very, very high. You see the time there. 80% right at kickoff or so, I guess 60% right at kickoff on Saturday. So we need Mother Nature's help on Saturday to kind of keep this thing going. But hopefully we'll get a chance to see everybody. I will say this. Sark made a little bit of a mention of this, like, well, you know, what did you think about the weather, et cetera? He said, look, you got to play in all kinds. It was more humid than usual yesterday, and we went through it. I don't think they're going to stop that process. I don't think they're going to cancel the spring game unless there's lightning. That's a different story, but I don't think there's any issue there.
Well, one thing that we did get to see, fellas, yesterday is they mic'd up Coach Nansen, Coach Johnny Nansen, linebackers coach, and I'm going to bring that up so we can play it for everybody in case they missed it. And this is good stuff right here.
Three, you got to go today, man. Let's go. Hustle up, hustle up, hustle up. Let's go. Come on, man. We got to get these reps. And what a beautiful day. Get better. Get some reps. Here we go. Let's go. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it. Good. Nice job. Throw your uppercut. Get your eyes up. Eyes up, guys. Go get it. Good. There you go. That's it. Open it up. Open it up. There you go. Eyes stand out. Good. Go. Go. There you go. 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 Go get it. Go get it. Technique. Come on. Come on. Work it. Now go. Good. That's it. Nice job, Mo. Rip, rip, rip. Here we go. Hit. There you go. That's it. Better. Bring your hips. Bring the hips. Here we go. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Whoa, baby.
You can feel it now. We got to apply that just like yesterday when we watched that tape. Wow, you got to lock that thing out. You know what I mean? And make sure we communicate, guys. Hey, 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 hey. You got to communicate that, right? Patience. Okay. Good talk. Good talk, 18. Hey, getting better, bro. Try to see if you can eyeball the quarterback because everything is going to be pushing back to you. Push, 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 push. Back, 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 back. Stay inside. There you go. Find it. Find it. Nice job. Good job. Good job, Mo. Good job, 18. You played it perfect. The one that you broke on it, that's exactly how you play it. Good. Work it. Work it. Get out of there, zero. Get out of there, zero. You almost had a pick. If you would just punch underneath that. There you go. Hey, nice job. Good job. Good job.
Hey, you know who that sounded a lot like to me? But going back to the old days, Jerry, is Dwayne Aquina.
Dwayne Aquina, yeah.
It absolutely is. Fired up all the time, coaching him all the way through just about every drill from start to finish with that same kind of intensity and fire. That was eerie, actually, a little bit.
Look, you know what? You pick up some things on video, right, that you hear that kind of coincides with what you hear in the spring. Mo Blackwell has had a really good spring, guys. I mean, Mo Blackwell's a guy that we've heard a lot about behind the scenes, and sometimes it's just the way the video plays out, right? But Mo Blackwell's had a good spring, guys. I think he's a guy that's really impressed Johnny Nansen. And we talked about that when Nansen and Baker came in. It's a clean slate for everybody, right? I mean, Johnny Nansen knows Anthony Hill is the alpha linebacker, but the rest of those guys, it's a clean slate. They're coached by somebody new. He's watched the tape, but he doesn't know their personalities. He doesn't know how those guys are going to communicate with him and how his communication with the said player is going to translate to the field. But I think Mo Blackwell has been very impressive to Johnny Nansen this spring.
All right, before we move on, fellas, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm?
Yeah, our friend Adam Lowy is your specialist. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, ATV accident, any kind of motor vehicle, give Adam and his firm a chance to earn your business. If you think you might be due compensation, Adam and his group have been working in Austin for 20 plus years and entire state of Texas, really. Give them a call. The thing about Adam and his group is they'll give you a free consultation. Just call them and they'll take you through the process, et cetera, let you know what you'll need to do and give you an opinion of whether or not you might be due compensation and whether they might be willing to take your case. That's Adam Lowy, lowylawfirm.com. We appreciate his sponsorship every Wednesday morning on Coffee and Football.
Hey, Blake, bring up Gino Valenzuela at 8:19. Because that kind of falls into a little recruiting this morning.
I'm looking for it. 8:19.
Before you get that, we left out something big, Jerry, to start, yeah. And that's Bill Norton and his official visit scheduling to Texas. The Arizona defensive tackle has officially, I don't even know if it's an official visit. I just know that he's coming in for CJ Vogel reporting that he's coming in for a visit this Saturday for the Texas spring game. Norton, the defensive tackle out of Memphis originally, signed with Georgia, then transferred to Arizona, played for Johnny Nansen the last 2 years at Arizona. He is visiting Texas. Look, I don't think Texas is going to be done in the portal at defensive tackle, even with Bill Norton at this point. But it's somebody to keep in mind as you look forward to it. Jerry, your thoughts on the portal recruiting situation and where they're at defensive tackle right now?
Yeah, Colton asked, difference maker or just another piece for depth? I would say he played about 180 snaps in the A-gap last year with SEC size, 6'6", 325. I think he is a quality role player. Difference maker over the A-gap difference maker, very few of those guys there actually are out there. I think Bill Norton would bring an adult to the room as somebody who's played a lot of snaps. And look, this is what I said about Bill Norton. As important as the 32 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss at Arizona last year, and he played a key role for Arizona, who ended up being a top 25 team and winning 10 games, 7 in a row in the season. He had 6 tackles against Utah, a very physical game, by the way. For 4 years, he practiced on the defensive line at Georgia against all NFL guys on the offensive line. So he is SEC size. He is SEC experience, maybe not so much in games, but in practice. I mean, he played sparingly for the Georgia program, but that guy every day in practice, that was a lunch pail when you're working against the first team offensive line at Georgia. So Bill Norton has some SEC experience, and he knows he's played against large humans, practiced against large humans for over 3 years there at Georgia. He had one injury season, but Bill Norton would bring the needed experience and SEC size that Texas is looking for, and a guy that was productive last year at Arizona. He's not going to be a flash play, a wow play guy if he ends up at Texas. But what he's going to do is he's going to play his role really well, and that's playing the A-gaps, and that's going to help free up linebackers because he's 6'5.5", 325. He's a big frame guy, hard to move.
All right, so that one that you wanted up, Jerry, from Gino, I finally found it. I was just blind going over it multiple times. He says, good morning from Galveston, Texas, and at home of a lot of people. I'm going to let you just take it away.
Well, I mean, look, they had one team in the 80s that I think had 5 NFL players on it. But I spoke with somebody close to the Jonah Williams recruitment a couple days ago, and that Texas official visit is going to happen. The date's not there. The tough thing for Jonah Williams in scheduling official visits, and LSU, Oregon, Texas, Oklahoma, and maybe Ohio State will get official visits. The tough thing for a kid like Jonah scheduling official visits is he's a legitimate baseball prospect that will be drafted on some level. You don't know where. It's summer baseball. All that stuff has to happen. But Jonah Williams is juggling summer baseball with official visits, and a lot of that stuff is in June. So I was told that Texas had a really good visit April 6th. I do think Oklahoma is still the favorite. I think LSU's in the picture. But I was told that Jonah Williams will make an official visit to Texas. So when I saw all those Galveston ball guys, I just wanted to mention that Jonah Williams news. 6'3", 205, one of the best two-sport athletes in the country in the 25 cycle.
Hey, ball high, Patrick Bates.
Yes.
If you want to go real back, Eric Hill, first-round pick of the Cardinals. Cardinals was a linebacker. Charles Alexander.
That team was loaded, Bobby. That late 80s.
Yeah, that was in some of that was in the 70s, too. Charles Alexander was, I think, the Heisman runner-up. He was out of Ball High.
Another one from Ball High, Jonah Williams' father, who played at University of Houston. So he was on those good teams in the 80s as well. Those teams were loaded. Obviously, then you have Casey Hampton, a name that everybody knows. That's still the best high school D lineman I've seen to date.
All right, well, let's continue on talking about recruiting. Jerry, Texas recently had a visitor on campus. Can you tell folks about that?
Yeah, Jackson Christian was back on campus yesterday. Port Neches Groves offensive lineman on Texas football, four-star prospect. Plays offensive tackle for Port Neches, who will be the defending state champions this year. I think he'll move into guard at the next level. He has tackle length, but I do think interior is going to be his best spot. But he's been a three-year starter for Port Neches. They lost in the state title game his sophomore year to Dallas South Oak Cliff. Came back and won it this past year, beating Dallas South Oak Cliff, upsetting South Oak Cliff. A guy with some nastiness on the field, some real toughness. Obviously, people that are familiar with Port Neches Groves know that's blue collar. That's a tough town. Roshan Johnson, tough, great leader. So that's what comes out of PNG. But Jackson Christian was back on campus. He was on campus Saturday with his mom for a visit and then came back for a Tuesday to go through the position meetings, watch spring practice again, really watch Kyle Flood work again. I think there's some confidence on the Texas side there. I think A&M's the team that is competing with Texas there. But there's some similarities in the Jaden Chapman recruitment for me in that Kyle Flood got on Jaden Chapman really early before other Power Five schools really started offering. Now, Jaden Chapman was a more nationally recruited prospect than Jackson Christian, but the similarity is that Kyle Flood was on both of those early. And so Jackson Christian's been on campus at Texas twice as much as anywhere else. I mean, he's now been on campus four or five times since he was offered June 11th. So Texas has had him on campus more than anybody else, which means his parents have been on campus more than anywhere else. And there's a comfort at Texas right now. And Jackson Christian said Saturday that he could envision himself playing at Texas. So we'll see. He's got the official visit set to Texas June 21st through 23rd, A&M the weekend before that. We'll see if he's a guy that moves up his timeline.
All right, guys. Any other things going on in recruiting that folks should be aware of, Jerry?
You know, we did a piece yesterday on unofficial visitors, the spring game visit list. Obviously, it fluctuates, you know, but the visit list is pretty strong. Obviously, the most chatter is going to be about KJ Lacy and Keelan Russell, the quarterback coming in. KJ Lacy committed to Texas. Keelan Russell at Duncanville committed to SMU. James Simon, running back from Louisiana, coming in, right? And if everybody gets on the plane that is supposed to get on the plane, which when you're out of state, that's – in our years of experience, we wait for that, you know. Nick Brooks out of Cedar Rapids, offensive lineman, one of the best in the country. He's kind of a wild card recruitment for Texas. He's out of JFK High there in Cedar Rapids, a one-time Iowa commitment, backed off of that. I think Georgia may lead Iowa right now. I think Texas is the third team. USC is the fourth. He's got an official visit scheduled. He's never been on campus before. So does Nick Brooks follow through with that visit? He's supposed to be here. Look, that's kind of how the Brandon Baker recruitment truly started, even though it's a big difference. Baker's at modern day, right? And Nick Brooks is in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But they had to get Brandon Baker and his family on campus for that spring game, for that official visit to truly happen in Texas, to feel like there was a real shot there. So we'll see what happens with Nick Brooks. I think he's a total wild card recruitment, one of the best linemen in the country there in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And how much does Texas like him? Kyle Flood went to Cedar Rapids in January. You're pretty much giving up a day on the road in recruiting to make that trip. So Texas really likes Nick Brooks. We'll see if he follows through and makes it in this weekend, which he's scheduled to do. Then on the defensive line, Derry Norris from Spruce Creek, he's scheduled to be in with his father, upside defensive lineman that Miami's scheduled for an official visit. And then LSU, A&M, and Florida have all offered in late March. Texas offered in early March. One of the upside athletic three tech types that out of the state of Florida in that 25 class. The Kevin Wynn out of Greensboro, Georgia, Greene County, 6'3", 320, he's scheduled to be in. Over the ball player, a really good player. You know, I think Zion Williams at the top of that Texas board in terms of the zero tech tilt player in the 25 class. But, you know, you got to get these guys on campus, see what happens. Texas got Myron Charles on campus from Port Charlotte a couple of weeks ago, and now he's scheduled to officially visit. So Kevin Wynn scheduled to be in. We'll see if Malik Autry, the Auburn commitment, shows up. I'm always iffy on that one, but he's a hell of a talent. You got to make a run at it. So it could be a big weekend for Kenny Baker. Chase Sims from Richmond Randall. We broke that news yesterday at OnTexasFootball.com that Chase Sims will be back for the spring game. He made an unofficial visit April 6th. So he'll be back on April 20th here coming up, and he's the guy that Texas offered early March. We'll see if the Longhorns schedule an official visit. That would be the next portion of that recruitment. So the D-line is starting to build in recruiting. Of course, you have Brandon Brown committed. You have Josiah Sharma, who's a top target out of Folsom, California. And you have Zion Williams out of Lufkin, another top target. And then DJ Sanders at Belleville is a guy that Texas has some real interest in. But that defensive line board is starting to build, and that's before Kenny Baker gets out and evaluates in May.
Hey, Jerry, what about John Mills yesterday? The offensive lineman out of San Francisco had what seemed like a pretty positive tweet towards Kyle Flood and the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, John Mills is out of St. Ignatius in San Francisco. A guy that, again, kind of like Jackson Christian recruitment, Kyle Flood was on early for a kid in San Francisco. He's got a lot of connections to University of Washington. I think there's four family members that play collegiate sports at Washington. He was at Washington last weekend. I think Texas is the favorite over Washington for John Mills. He's got official visits coming. I believe that begins with Nebraska in late April. Then he's got Cal. But really, I think this comes down to Texas and Washington. Florida's also on the official visit list. USC's got him scheduled. We'll see if he actually makes it that far. But I think he'll go through the official visit process a little bit. He was on campus April 6th. And I think Texas is in a good spot. But I think Washington is right there with all those family ties. But we'll see how this – the interesting thing with offensive line, guys, is the musical chairs has got to start sometime. There's 10 guys scheduled for official visits. That number could go to 11 in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, it's going to be a five-man offensive line class. What do the Colemans from Cedar Hill show back up Saturday? We'll see, right? Jackson Christian on campus again. John Mills. I mean, so there's a lot of competition. Michael Fasusi, I think Texas is looking good for Fasusi right now. Oklahoma's going to put up a fight, and A&M's trying. But those musical chairs are going to start at some point. And Kyle Flood can't take them all. And there's five spots. There's 10 guys scheduled for official visits. It'll be interesting to see who moves off their timelines and when.
All right, y'all. Jerry, I know you also have a basketball portal recruiting note as well, and then we'll get to some questions after that.
Yeah, Jordan Pope. You know, last year my favorite guy in the portal was Cam Scott, the guard out of Rutgers. He ended up at UConn, and I thought he was the best guard in the portal, even though they're got more highly ranked guys. Cam Scott went in late in the portal process, so a lot of people missed that, missed their opportunities there. But Jordan Pope, I said that to say this. Jordan Pope's a guy I love in the portal. Not to the Cam Scott level of last year, or Cam Spencer level of last year, but I really like Jordan Pope. He's on campus for a visit, the Oregon State transfer. He's a guy who can play point. He can play off the ball. He can definitely run a team. I think this guy, he's out of Oakley, California, a 6'1 guard, and he can really shoot it. He makes tough shots, late clock shot clock. Shots, contested threes, really good free throw shooter, really good with the ball in hand, not a high turnover guy. This would be a huge piece for Texas. Obviously, he's scheduled to be at A&M after the Texas visit. He's at North Carolina. A lot of people have reached out to him. He's a very good player. He would be a difference maker if Texas could win that recruitment out of the portal. I mean, you put him with the guards that Texas has, and they'd have something to guard. I'm a big, big fan of Jordan Pope from Oregon State, so we'll see what happens there.
Hey, Jerry, and this, if you, for whatever reason, were Longhorn fan and didn't hear the news on Monday, Dylan Mitchell and Tyrese Hunter both put their names in the portal. Additionally, Texas added three guys with experience from the portal, Rodney Terry and his crew did, yeah, on Sunday, two of whom from Indiana State. And then also Tremont Mack, the guard out of Arkansas. And so, long story short, I think Rodney Terry right now in the process of remaking the look and feel of this team. I will say this, and Jerry, you tell me if I'm wrong here. Tyrese Hunter and Dylan Mitchell as defenders were really, really good overall, okay? Length with Mitchell, a lot of hops, a lot of athleticism, right? Tyrese Hunter could stay in somebody's grill the entire game. But when it came to offense, there wasn't kind of that mix and match ability with either of those two. Hunter was either hot or cold, and Mitchell never developed a mid-range game. Is that kind of – do you feel like Rodney Terry's going, okay, we went hyper defense a little bit with those two. We needed a little bit more offense and a little bit more flow, and then work harder on defense. I mean, what's the thought process there?
Well, I mean, look, I know defense is an emphasis, right? You don't have to be a great defensive team. You have to be good. But you have to be able to score the basketball against a really good opponent. And we've talked about this before. It's kind of been the U of H Achilles heel under Kelvin Sampson with the style of play. And they've had some bad injury luck. But when you run up against a UConn, they're going to score 75 points on your good defense. So what are you going to do against them? Because they're going to play good defense. They may not play great defense. They're going to be good. You have to be able to score the basketball. You have to score 75 plus against a quality team, talent neutralized situation on the road or neutral. And that was an issue. So, and you have to be able to play big and you have to be able to play small. You have to have versatility. But through that versatility, you have to be able to space the floor and be tough to guard and make an opponent have to guard you. And Texas in their big lineup last year, that was a struggle for them, especially when, you know, playing Brock and Dylan together, Texas didn't have a wing. They didn't have a college wing. And they didn't really have ball skill at four. So that has changed. The Jason Kent kid from Indiana State, the 6'8 forward, he gives them that big wing at times in a big lineup, undersized power forward with skill, face-up skill, that's really going to help the Texas offense. But I'll say this. I thought Frank Haith is one of the best evaluators I've been around in my years in this business. He is really good at identifying shooters and offensive basketball players. He once convinced Rick Barnes to take PJ Tucker without ever seeing PJ Tucker play. That's putting trust. That's a head coach putting trust in your associate head coach. Despite the fact that AJ Abrams didn't go on to a pro career, Frank Haith identified him as an offensive player, great shooter at a young age. Having Frank Haith at Texas, that's big for the Longhorns offensive basketball to me. He has done it. You know, he signed Kenton Paulino. And was Paulino a star player? No. Was Kenton Paulino a big piece to winning basketball games because he could shoot the basketball and help your floor spacing back when the game was different? Absolutely. Kenton Paulino had one of the biggest shots in Texas history. So having Frank Haith here is big for Texas. And as far as building out the offensive talent needed. And I'll say that. I think Frank's really, really good at what he does.
I think we lost Bobby here for a second, Jerry. Oh, there we go. He's back. He's back with us.
I'm sorry, guys. My camera's been laggy, and now it's all dark. I'm not sure what to do here, guys. I want to say this real quick. For those that want to, we are going to have a get-together today at the Posse East over off of Dean Keaton and campus. Please come and join us. Myself, Jerry, Rod Baber, CJ Vogel, we'll all be there. The first drink is on me. We're going to be there from about 3 o'clock till about 5:30 or 6. Join us. We really want to see you guys. It's our way. I know not everybody is in Austin or even in the surrounding area. Everybody comes from just about everywhere. But my point being, if you get a chance to come out and just hang out for an hour or two, come have a drink on us. Hang out and let's talk a little bit, a little football. I'm excited about being at the Posse today from 3 to 5:30 or 6. Put it on your calendar. If you get a chance, just come out and say hi, shake our hands, hang out, and we'll get together.
Hey, Blake, I'm going to make you do it because we've had so many baseball comments, but I got to make you do it.
Yeah, this
is your time to shine.
We even have a super chat here, and let's just go ahead and get right to it from Christian Kruger. He says, my super chat question is Tony Mitello really a candidate when Pierce is let go? He's currently making $1.5 million at Tennessee. Who would be other names? Because there needs to be a change. Thanks, and Hookle. So, in case you missed it, Texas, terrible game last night, 17-9 loss to UT Rio Grande Valley. They are now 22-16 on the season, 9-6 in conference play. Yes, I think he would be. CDC has gone big game hunting with his other hires, and that's, you know, a big game right there. I think him, the Oregon State coach, Clemson's head coach, would be some other names to look at. I even like the newer coach at Alabama, Rob Vaughn is his name. Can't think of it there for a second. Rob Vaughn, it's his first year at Alabama. I could even see them going after him. And then over on TexasFootball.com, I posted, I don't know, probably about 10 to 12 names that I like anyway, that I think that could be in the mix. Obviously, people are throwing out other names like Stanford's coach or Virginia's coach. Those guys, they went to school there. They've been there for years. So this is more of a realistic look at names and not just a wish list of LSU and Vanderbilt and all that. So
I don't know if you meant, I was responding to something. Did you mention the Clemson coach? Because I think he's tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah. So Clemson, I like their coach. So who's on my list is Oregon State, Clemson, Duke, Tennessee, Wake Forest, and Alabama. That's my tier one of coaches that I think are could realistically end up at Texas.
Here's my thinking though. I'm just going to say this. Okay. Let's see how they finish the season. I mean, what, they start their first baseman as a pitcher yesterday?
Yes, Texas. Correct.
Okay. So let's not I think it's clear right now what David Pierce is doing a little bit, Blake, and I want to get your feedback, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't care about the non-conference games right now. His Tuesday, Wednesday game, whatever it is, win or lose, he doesn't care. He's trying to advance in the conference.
Yeah.
Right. They're, what are they, 9-6 in conference? You know, he's saving all his pitching for that is essentially what he's doing. So I understand Texas shouldn't be losing to UT Rio Grande Valley. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not absolving anyone of that, but put it in perspective. He knows he doesn't have many pitchers and he ain't wasting them on Tuesday. So that's how I feel. So don't overreact to a loss to UT Rio Grande Valley when you don't have your real pitching going. The time to overreact, or the time to react, is when you lose 2 of 3 to BYU, right? Yeah. I mean, that would be my question. I look, David Pierce was on our show, and I want him to succeed. He seems like a very good guy, but they've got to do something, and they got to make a move here because Texas baseball right now looks a little – it looks – too inconsistent, and there's maybe been a little too much turnover in the coaching staff adjacent to David Pierce in the last several years, and that's kind of, I think, worn on people a little bit as well.
And I think if you're a Texas fan, right, a Texas baseball fan right now, the best thing that you can hope for is kind of what TCU was in a free fall last year, and then I think came back and won every single game in May and toward the end of April and ended up making a deep run in the College World Series. I don't see it happening, but crazier things have happened. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, it's
– look, they're not wrong. I mean, to their point, I mean, somebody's posting here in the chat. They won 2 of 3 against U of H, but should have lost potentially all three. Right? I mean, because they had 2 ninth-inning comebacks. You had a situation where you lose to BYU. They have not looked good. So I'm not saying that he gets a pass or anything like that. I'm saying it's clear to me right now, all the eggs are in the conference game basket. He knows he doesn't have the pitching to compete midweek, really, at an elite level. All his eggs are in the conference basket.
Yeah.
If he's going to salvage the season.
Yeah. And that's a big if.
Yeah, exactly. And I admit, I'm just saying that's where he's headed.
Oh man! All right, Jerry. Well, let me cue the music here for you. Well, it's your time, buddy. Get out there.
This is a big Manscaped day here at On Texas Football. I'm just here to tell you, I'm holding the 5.0, but there's a lot more to that than Manscaped. All right, call it what you want: knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, etc. But our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their 2 boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, you need to trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too. So join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS for 20% off. Plus free shipping. You heard it here first, OTF. The boys are back in town. And what am I talking about? introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, the 4.0 Pro, and the 5.0 Ultra. Man, Texas Tech can come to town as many times as they need. They can get Manscaped and leave town 57-7. This is the boys are back in town, guys. Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, the 4.0 Pro, and the 5.0 Ultra. Yep, three ball trimmers. Isn't it awesome?
Oh, man. It is awesome. It's hey, awesome.
People are making fun of me with the little growing of the beard out.
Yeah, you're taking not that.
I am not growing a beard out. This is called Bobby traveled this week and forgot his razor.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen today. So you see me tomorrow, it will be shaved.
Hey, Colton, is the 5.0 dishwasher? Yeah, look, man, safe. Yeah, it's waterproof. Of course it is. Manscaped, they got you covered.
All right, we have some more super chats that we need to knock out real quick, fellas. UT boy, thank you. He says, hook them. We appreciate the super chat, UT boy. And then Stubbs82 says, hook them. Great content as always, fellas. We appreciate that as well, Stubbs. And then last but not least, Jack, super chat challenge. Come on, Horns. Bobby has a bar tab to cover.
I already told the owner of the Posse East that I don't know how much it's going to be, but I'm like going to give everybody a ticket. Don't everybody go like buy top shelf or whatever. I think I'm going to just make it. You have to buy beer. You can't buy mixed drinks.
Yeah,
that's going to be it, right? I need to do that.
And we did have somebody yesterday ask if a pitcher counts as a beer.
No, unless it's for you and like four others or three others. I'm kidding. Just come, guys, if you get a chance, seriously, come out. We want to meet you guys, Jerry and I. Always like meeting Longhorns around the state, around the country, wherever we go, we see people. And like I said, this is our chance to just say, come on out, hang out with us, chill out, have a beer, sit down and talk. And we'll get going. Rod will be there as well. So we'll see Jay. So you get a chance to meet all of us in person if we haven't before.
Okay. Well, let's take some questions. Plenty of time to get your questions in. So please do so. We'll get to as many as we can. And we're going to scroll back here and start at the top. Let's do a little recruiting to begin with. E. Kim says, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. Which tight end prospect in 2025 is the best to compliment Amari Winston?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's four tight ends scheduled for official visits at Texas, and I put them into two different categories. So Keaudy Armstrong from Jasper, and Caleb Edwards from Oak Ridge and El Dorado Hills. By the way, Edwards says he's going to be here this weekend and then June 7th through 9th for an official visit. Those are your bigger inline tight ends that also, but they're not strictly inline tight ends. Keaudy Armstrong is not. He is, I call him a poor man's Darnell Washington. And when I say poor man's, that's a compliment. He's 6'5", he's not 6'7". Darnell Washington's a good pro, was a really good player on national championship teams at Georgia. Neither one of those guys are just in line tight end. So they're guys who can get out and make plays in the passing game. They're just bigger frame guys. The other one is Nick Townsend, who is the almost a super freak athletically for me at this point. And he's more in the Amari Winston mold, right? He's the guy who is a pass catcher, can really stretch the field more so than Winston can. I mean, look, Nick Townsend ran 10.92. FAT, fully automatic time, 100 meters at the district track meet at 226 pounds. And that's getting it. That's what Bo Barnes, that's what Riley Pettijohn, those two linebackers are running. So go ahead and list all the tight ends that run 10.92 in high school at 225, 230 pounds. It's a very short list. He will not be in this weekend because he has regional track meet. By the way, we talked about the spring game and weather. The regional track meets are maybe blasted by weather this weekend in certain areas of the state. But those are the two different categories. So if Amari Winston is part of the class long-term, then who is the second tight end? I think Armstrong is a slight A&M lean over Texas, but goes back and forth. I think Caleb Edwards is a complete wild card, unknown until he gets to campus. But I think that Texas is in a pretty good spot for Nick Townsend with the understanding that Alabama and A&M are real competition there. But I think Nick Towns is probably the most talented tight end Texas recruiting. I think Keaudy Armstrong is a really good inline type of prospect that can also get down the field and catch the football. So they're two different categories. I think Nick Townsend, Bobby, is maybe a little different than the rest of those guys.
Well, he definitely he profiles differently, right? I like Keaty Armstrong from a power tight end perspective, Jerry. I like Nick Townsend from the flex tight end perspective. And I think there's room for both. My question is, how likely is it that Emory Winston stays with Texas this whole way through? Because he might be, you know, look, Anthony Williams didn't.
Yeah.
Right. And so where is that sitting? And
to your point, Nick Townsend is a recruitment that he kind of came on as a junior, right? He wasn't a highly offered kid ending sophomore season, but he also was more of a edge player linebacker than he was a tight end. So once people started looking at him differently and then hearing him say, I want to be a tight end. Okay. Well, you have to adjust your recruitment of him because he's a big time. He's a four-star prospect as an edge pass rusher, outside backer, or as a tight end, but he wants to play tight end. So yeah, it's similar to JT Sanders. You have to adjust your recruiting strategy there. And Texas is recruiting him as a tight end. And he happens to be, I mean, again, athletically, I'm not sure he has a peer in the country in this class.
I want to say this. Emory Winston is similar to DeAndre McNeil, the former Mesquite Petite tight end / wide receiver that Texas recruited with Malik Jefferson. I actually think he's more like Juan Davis. That would be my comparison. A little bit different.
Then we have another recruiting question from Rudy O. And Jerry, you've been talking about these brothers here lately. Are the Coleman brothers a package deal, or might we only take one if the numbers start getting tight?
Yeah, so that great question. So they're triplets, right? There's Isaiah Coleman, the defensive lineman, and there's Jordan, the swing tackle guard, who I think can play right tackle, and there's Devin Coleman, who's a guard all the way. So I think Jordan and Devin definitely want to go to the same school. I think they understand, okay, Isaiah's a 6'1", 275-pound off defensive lineman who's a very good player. UTSA, some others are after him. But Jordan and Devin are just different physically, right? So I'm not sure there's a college that could take – that all three would go to. I think the family's in a great spot for all – because all three are going to get scholarships, first of all. But I do think Jordan and Devin would prefer to go to the same school. They're very – very close, great kids, funny kids, by the way. And I think Texas is in a good spot for those guys right now. I'll be interested to see if they get back down the campus Saturday. They're trying to. We'll see if those plans get made.
Okay, guys. Well, we've had a lot of people join since we first started, so let's go back over some of the news of the day. Obviously, the team was back on the field yesterday. Sark met with the media. A lot going on in recruiting with the portal. I'm going to let you guys kind of run that down for them.
Yeah, you know, Ben Norton, defensive lineman out of Arizona, visiting Texas this weekend. CJ Vogel reporting that. Norton, a defensive tackle, split time fairly evenly between the A gap and the B gap. Of course, Texas really needing some guys that can play over the ball. I made a comparison this morning on Texas football that I think Norton is very similar to Vernon Broughton. Very, you know, similar type size. Similar type athleticism, all of that stuff. And so this is a guy that can eat some snaps. To Jerry's point, I don't know that he's an elite NFL prospect or anything like that, like some other guys might be, but he is a guy that Johnny Nansen is very familiar with, the defensive coordinator formerly at Arizona, now the linebacker coach at Texas. Of course, Texas already taken his teammate, Tia Savea, who's making a dent on the two deep right now for the Longhorns. So, you know, that's one. I still believe there are going to be more enter the portal, okay? And I think Texas could take as many as – I think they will try to take at least two, possibly three defensive tackles. That's how badly they need this position to fit. And the reality of it is every other position on the field right now they feel supremely, supremely confident in. Sadir Mitchell just hasn't come on enough yet for them to have that confidence. Alex January is coming on, but he's only a true freshman. What are you supposed to do, right? Jarae Bledsoe, Sark mentioned him on Tuesday at the presser. Yeah. So that's good news. But again, age. Where's the depth and the ability to stop the run on the interior? As a complexifier or as a complicating part of this. I don't know if everybody saw about Michigan going on probation yesterday. Well, Michigan just so happens to have two of the top five defensive linemen in the entire country. We'll see if that sparks any renewed interest there and their guys potentially going and going into the portal. UCLA has a defensive tackle that is phenomenal, or that would really fit well, but he hasn't even mentioned his name into the portal yet. But I know other teams are after him or want to be after him if he puts it in. So there are going to be more guys go in. We just don't know who. And until they actually go in the portal, it's hard to go there. But that's what's going on from a portal perspective right now. Texas is at 86 scholarships. Three players have put their name in thus far. Linebacker Samaje Burrell, defensive end edge prospect Billy Walton, and then offensive lineman Peyton Kirkland. Of those three, Walton is the one that I think caught Texas a little by surprise. Late last week, I'm told he had a meeting with Texas and his parents and had decided to stay at Texas for another year. And then for whatever reason, it changed over the weekend. And so beyond that, Texas waiting on some other guys to make decisions. I still think the number is 6 to 8 as far as guys that will ultimately go elsewhere. Three have already happened. So I guess my real number now is 3 to 5 additional ones.
So people have asked, when will the portal heat up? Blake, bring up that spring game schedule, just even the Texas schedule for spring games.
Hang on, I accidentally closed it. Give me just a second.
No, you're good. Because I just wanted people to see, like, April 20th is a big spring game weekend around the country. That's Notre Dame, Texas, A&M, Oklahoma. I mean, last weekend there were a few. Florida, LSU, Bama, some of those started. But if you look at the Texas schedule, I mean, Georgia obviously last weekend. Look at how many teams Michigan spring game this weekend. So when is the portal going to heat up? I think that it's going to heat up after these spring games this weekend. I really think that's what's going to happen here. You have Michigan, you have Oklahoma, you have Texas, you have A&M. I mean, so I think these April 20th spring games, you had a few last weekend, as we said, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Arkansas had theirs. You've seen some guys from Arkansas after the game jump in the portal, right? By the way, Colorado State's best receiver jumped in the portal yesterday. Remember, Bobby, we talked about the best receiver on the Texas schedule. He jumped in the portal, so we'll see if Texas has to play against him. He's a really good player. But I think after this weekend, you're going to see guys start to make some movement into the portal. Somebody also asked, is it going to be as crazy as the December portal? No, I don't think it will be. That's just a wild. That's a wild time. I don't think there's going to be as much movement in the spring portal as there is in the December portal ever. But I do think it could be impactful for Texas in the spring portal.
I have one clarification from yesterday as well, Jerry, that you had asked. So we had mentioned there can be no transfers from SEC school to SEC school in the spring transfer portal schedule. So in other words, if you transfer after February 1st, you cannot be eligible at another SEC school. So you can't go from Texas to Florida or Florida to Texas after February 1st of a player's transfer season. Okay. You asked me, Jerry, subsequent to that, all right, whether or not a grad transfer actually didn't count towards that. I'm told and checked on this, grad transfers cannot do it either. So even if you graduate from Texas, you can't go somewhere else unless you go at mid-year. You can't go somewhere else in the SEC. So there's no intra-conference transfer after February 1, and it doesn't matter whether you're a freshman in college or grad transfer.
Okay, guys, our next question here is from King Me, and he says, do you guys see Sark's offense being bullies this year, or will they take what the defense gives them?
So that's a great question, by the way. I think Texas wants to be able to run. Their whole key is to be able to run the ball when they want to run the ball, when they have to run the ball, right? I think you're always going to see what a 51, 49, 52, 48, 53, 47, in that range, run versus pass. But the whole key is to be able to lean on people when you want to and when you need to. One of the big things I'm looking for this year, and we've talked about this, everybody's a lot of the, one of the topics is, oh, Quinn's passing touchdowns number. I'm one person who would love to see it at 28 because that means Texas ran the ball effectively in the red zone. And they actually leaned on people and got the ball over the goal line with their stable of running backs. That's one of the things I'm looking for this year for Texas is I do think with an experienced offensive line, they're going to look to do that. Executing it is another story. I think Texas has the ability to do that. I think they're going to be improved in that regard, obviously. But to what level, I think we'll see, Bobby.
Before we move on, fellas, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about the great folks at Factor?
Yeah, this is actually one of my favorites. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. If you haven't had them, they are fresh, never-frozen meals, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You peel the film back, put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and literally, it is delicious. Jerry, myself, Blake, we've all had them. They just do a great job. I like the Parmesan chicken. Really good stuff. Always have good green beans and fresh vegetables to mix along there with you to make it a really healthy lunch for me as I work from home. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in just 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love doing this spring. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. It just matters so much when you're working from home. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. And they also can tailor it to your schedule. You can get as few as 6 meals a week to as many as 18. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. And then you can also pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Look, a lot of us may be taking vacations this summer. You can pause it and get it when you come back. Head to factormeals.com/Texas50 and use code Texas50 to get 50% off your first box. Plus, you get 20% off your next box. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's factormeals.com/Texas50.
And somebody asked how many times Texas could be on College Game Day this year. That's a good question. A lot of that plays out over the course of the season. The matchups, if the matchups are, you know, as good during the season as they are on paper. But I'd be surprised. Look, Texas, Michigan. I'd be surprised if that's not a Fox Big Noon Game Day week two there, you know, in the season. And then, you know, look, if Georgia and Texas are both as good as people think, when Georgia rolls into Austin, it'd be tough to bet against Game Day, Fox, Big Noon, all those people being in Austin that weekend.
All right. Our question here from Reese Brewer reads, what would you consider a good spring game for Arch Manning?
Move the ball. Move the ball. Stop. And Jerry, I know this is something that we can talk about, completion percentage and all that other stuff. Your job as a quarterback is to move the team. Okay. It was the difference, in my opinion, between Chris Sims and Major Applewhite.
Yeah.
Major Applewhite moved the team. Chris Sims was kind of herky jerky in moving the team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Arch Manning, and I'm not trying to say there's a quarterback controversy because there's not. The comparison is, why did some people like Major Applewhite over Chris Sims? Because Major Applewhite moved the team consistently. So Arch Manning's job and any quarterback's job is to move the team. How he does it with his legs, short pass, checkdowns, maybe he throws a spectacular pass here or there, right? But the spectacular isn't what he's there for as a quarterback. He needs to prove as a young quarterback, first and foremost, he can move the team first or second team. That's what I'm looking for from Arch Manning.
Yeah, it's funny. I was joking around somewhat with I wasn't, but I kind of was with CJ on Vogel, something we did earlier this week on Texas Football. that it, the boy, the articles are already written. You go 8 of 15, the transfer articles are ready. You go 10 of 15, should he be battling Quinn for the starting job? I mean, the articles are written based on two completions, one way or the other in the spring. That's how dumb all this is.
All right. Our next question here, guys, is going to come from James Pennington. And James says, how does Leona LaFalle look, or how is he looking this spring? He looked real good at the spring game last year, but haven't heard much since.
Yeah, Leonga has actually looked good. I'm understanding that he's running second team right now, along with Mo Blackwell. So first team is Anthony Hill and David Benda, second team right now. Leonga LaFalle, along with Mo Blackwell. Now, when they go to certain packages, Blackwell will become a first teamer. So there's that to consider, which brings up somebody that has asked about Darian Gallette in the portal. Okay, there was a report out that then was retracted about Gallette going in the portal. So I tried to do some checking around that. That's entirely possible right now. They are waiting to see what happens after spring ball. Guys trying to it's almost like the Billy Walton situation. And that's why I mentioned it earlier. They had the conversation. He's coming back, right? And then all of a sudden something changes and he's in the portal on Monday. So I don't want to put this on Darian Gallette. And they apologized for putting that story out about Darian Gallette. And I would accept that if I were a Texas fan. Things happen. Jerry and I have been behind the scenes on that stuff ourselves when, you know, you accidentally published something that you were trying to hold for later or whatever. But what I would get at with all for everybody is there are going to be some names out there that do hurt a little bit. I mean, look, Billy Walton hurts a little bit right now. And Juju's asking, is LaFalle better than Gallette? They're different positions. So that it's not a fair comparison. LaFalle's an inside guy. Gallette's an outside guy. So the problem that's going to happen is as you get more and more really good prospects and good prospects get covered up by other good prospects or recruited over, Colin Simmons nobody would want Texas not to have Colin Simmons, right? Well, Billy Walton, I think, felt like that was just too much for him to overcome. And he was never going to be the guy at that position, right, during his tenure. He may be right. But, you know, what should he have done in the view of that and have some patience, et cetera? I'm not sure. My point being, that's something that we're all going to have to deal with as Texas grows its roster in a way that is, I don't want to say conducive, but is in line with being a national power. I mean, yeah. Georgia loses guys.
Yeah.
Look, if you're good, you lose guys. That's how it is. Guys that can...
And some of those guys that leave are going to end up being really good players and be on an NFL training camp one day. But that's a sign that you're recruiting at the level you need to when really good players transfer. Just because, look, the reality is you can be really good and be third team at Alabama or Georgia or Clemson during their runs. You could be really good and be a third team player. And at Texas right now, you can be really good and be third team at some positions. Especially when a Trey Moore and Colin Simmons come in the same year at the same time. That makes it tougher to look up that depth chart and see where you can move, ascend to. So that's just a reality. Texas is going to lose some guys that go on to be really good players and may have a chance to have football as a career one day. But to me, that's a positive thing for the program because that means your staff is recruiting the right guys and evaluating really well.
Let's talk some defensive tackle recruiting here for a moment. This was a hot topic when we were recapping earlier. David Rawl says, do you guys think they take up to 4 defensive tackles? Shane says they'll take 2 max. What do y'all think that magic number is?
So I think in the portal, it's 2 or 3. I think in high school in the 25 class, you're looking at 4. 3 for sure, probably 4. But we'll have to see how that goes. I don't think Texas is going to reach for anybody in the high school recruiting in 2025. I do think the reality is this, though. I think these guys have some different tiers. Brandon Brown is a different than a DJ Sanders. I mean, you're Brandon Brown, you're Josiah Sharma, those are more impact guys. Okay. Those guys are, they're a little different for me. Zion Williams over the ball is a little different maybe than some others because he comes in with SEC size strength already. A guy like a DJ Sanders, if he's your fourth D lineman in the class, he's a developmental guy. That's going to take some time. Anybody that has expectations of him being a guy early, that's probably not going to hit. He's going to need some time. So then you have some wild cards out there like a Derry Norris at Spruce Creek who's coming in this weekend that Texas offered without seeing in person. They're going to go see him in May. I'm telling you, I'm going to go see him in May too, but I've talked to some people that have really athletic guy. I mean, he runs in the relays for Spruce Creek, which isn't a great track program. Don't get me wrong. He's 6'3", 270, but he's athletic enough to do it. I put on TexasFootball.com some videos of him working out. So, look, that's a developmental guy that you could see in this class as your fourth D tackle. So they're not all the same. That's the thing to realize. I think there's tiers to these guys, and there has to be the understanding that while some guys have a name that may be bigger than some of the out-of-state guys, like a Josiah Sharma is more on the radar late versus a guy like DJ Sanders from Belleville who's been on the radar in the state of Texas for a while. Sharma and him are two different prospects. Sanders is going to take time. Sharma is a dude earlier.
And then Jack wants to know, is Norton compared to Sevilla?
Inside, Sevilla played more 3 and 5. Norton played more, and when I say 3, I mean a 3 technique and a 5 technique. So that's over the guard or outside the shoulder of the guard towards the end. Or over the tackle. Okay. That's a 3. Sevilla played a 3 and a 5 mostly last year. Norton played a 1 and a 3 primarily. So that's the difference. One guy played more inside than the other. And so you can't sit here and say, well, one's better than the other, et cetera, because they play different positions. Both had productive years, relatively speaking. So they're not, these aren't guys. The thing that I would say, and one of the reasons why I like Bill Norton, Tia Sevilla, these guys, is they were on a good defense last year. Now, they weren't the stars of that defense. Not trying to say that. But when you've been on a good defense, part of being on a good defense is doing your job. Right? If you know how to do your job in football, that's part of the puzzle. I mean, a big piece of it that people, I think some people just think, oh, well, you got to have talent, so it's all go, right? Well, if that was the case, I mean, frankly, there are guys on Texas' current team that would be on the field right now, okay? But they have to have that talent within the framework of the defense. And so my opinion of that is if you find guys that were good players within good defenses, that's a positive because they know at least what their responsibility is in the grander scheme of things.
Before we move on, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy one more time?
Yeah, our friend Adam, each and every Wednesday's Coffee and Football, as well as State of the Program, which we'll do a little bit later today, brought to you by our friend Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, motorcycle accident, even ATV, and think you were not at fault and might be due compensation for whatever reason, reach out to Adam and his firm, lowylawfirm.com. 20-plus years of experience. Located in Austin, but works around the state. Again, reach out to them, lowylawfirm.com. They give a free consultation and let you know what's going on. Thanks again to him and his team for their sponsorship of every Wednesday morning's Coffee and Football.
We got some linebacker questions, Johnny Nansen questions, so let's knock out some of those. Mike G says, moving to the SEC, will our linebackers be big enough? Other than Hill and Gallette, all of our future backers are on the smaller side.
Well, Elijah Bo Barnes isn't on the smaller side, by the way. He's 230 plus. I would say, Jerry, yes, they are on the smaller side to a degree. But Benda is not really small. He's stout, right? I think that what people are looking for, and this is something to consider. I consider big-chested linebackers kind of and big trunk linebackers kind of the what they look for in the SEC so they can stop the interior run first and foremost. Texas wasn't necessarily recruiting that in the Big 12 because they didn't have to. You know what I mean? It is a little bit different than the SEC. And so to your point, does Texas have that linebacker style necessarily? They weren't necessarily recruiting for it, but I'm with Hill and Benda. I just don't, unless one of those two get injured, I just don't think they're at a, at, I don't think they have an issue size on the interior at linebacker right now. Could it be if they get into a depth situation? Yeah, perhaps.
King Me wants to know, what is a Johnny Manson linebacker?
That's a great question. So I think that can change too, based on the conference you're coaching in. That's what we were talking about. But look, I think one thing I like about Nansen is I think he puts instincts above everything else at that position based on who they're offering and what I'm seeing with those guys. I will always say that running back and linebacker are the two most instinctive positions on a football field. I think you have to have true football instincts to be high end at those positions. And instincts at that position as well. But I think long lever guys, I mean, you look at a Jonathan Cunningham at North Crowley, who's scheduled to officially visit June 14th through 16th, coming in again this weekend for the spring game, a guy that Johnny Nansen pushed Texas to offer after he got to Texas. He's 6'2 and a half, 6'2 and a quarter, 190, 195 right now. So it doesn't matter what he is right now. It matters the length he has. It's similar to Ty Anthony Smith, by the way. Those long arm guys, Ty Anthony Smith's a 79, 79 and a half, 80 inch wingspan guy at 6'1 and a half. I mean, long arms. Okay. And those frames take a little while to develop, but they're instinctive football players that you can move around at the linebacker position. You know, Elijah Bo Barnes physically is way ahead of those guys, but he's got that same length. But Elijah Bo Barnes, you can play in the middle. You could move him off the edge and let him pass rush. You can drop him in the coverage. But I think there's a long arm category that these guys are falling into for Johnny Nansen. Those longer levers, especially when you're playing in the SEC against the longer limb athletes. But I think instincts is number one for Nansen. And I like that because one of the issues I think college football can get into at times is same issue we have in our industry, right? Is you go to a Under Armour camp or a Nike camp, the old days Nike camp, and you see the guy who's 6'4", Bobby, 185 pounds with long arms, and you say, okay, we're going to make him a linebacker. You can make that guy a linebacker. Well, that's a very instinctive position. So that's easier said than done. So I like the guys Nansen's recruiting because instincts are number one.
All right, I got it. Breaking news here. Jamon Tapp, Texas defensive end out of Donaldsonville, Louisiana, has entered the transfer portal. He is a 2023 signee, so he'll have 3 years left to play. Tapp just announced, or just going into the portal, according to 24/7 Sports. Tapp was one of those guys, Jerry, that I was just talking about.
Yeah.
If it was just all potential and all athleticism, he'd already have been on the field.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to play within the framework of the defense. But at the same time, you add another year of seasoning to Jamon Tapp and get him into a situation where he knows what to be doing at every single time. He could have been a starting player for Texas, potentially an NFL camp guy, to your point. That was kind of guys that we're talking about. But Jamon Tapp becomes the fourth player that we know of now that will enter the transfer portal. Young man out of Donaldsonville, Louisiana, a Longhorn. Also joining Samaje Burrell, linebacker, Peyton Kirkland, an offensive lineman, as well as Billy Walton. All members, by the way, Jerry, of that 2023 recruiting class. Is that right?
Tapp was 2022. Him and Bledsoe came into Texas as the most raw guys in that class. But two guys with great upside. Obviously, Bledsoe has the higher upside. But Tapp, same situation as Billy Walton. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it, but when Trey Moore and Colin Simmons come in at the same time, that's tough. Even if, because then if Burke's practicing at all on the same side as Baron Sorrell, I mean, think about that, what that does to the mindset of a kid, and that's competition. I mean, that it is what it is. Tap flashed enough at Texas, I think, when he got in. I think he's going to find a good home, and it'll be interesting. He has some of the best feet for a big kid that I've seen in the last 2-3 years out on the road. He's got really good feet. He's just got to put it together.
Interestingly, I'm reading more. I think that, look, I still say 6-8. I'm not. This is one of the ones that I had kind of earmarked, so it doesn't change my number. People are asking that, and I just don't see it changing my number. I think that there's going to be at least one DB go in. I think that there is another chance of a defensive tackle going in. I think there's a chance of one or two offensive linemen going in. Outside of that, perhaps one other guy on offense in the skill position category as of right now. And that would put it right at the 8 number. All right, hey, we need to reset a little bit because we've gone a little long. Yet we've had a couple, I mean, via Twitter alone, we've had a couple thousand people join us. I want to mention that Texas, and right now, Jerry and I and all of us at On Texas Football are monitoring the situation with Jackson Christian. The Port Neches Groves offensive lineman visited Texas yesterday. He not only was there for the practice, he also went in the pre-drills and pre-team meetings with Kyle Flood, the offensive line coach. He may be in the process of making a decision, or he may let it sit, lay out a little bit. He doesn't have to decide right now. He has a June official visit set up, but it's one that we think is worth monitoring and watching. Texas basketball also has an official visitor on campus right now, young man out of Oregon State. Jerry's really high on. Look, of course, the basketball program picked up 3 commitments on Sunday as well. Jerry, other news and notes, Bill Norton, defensive tackle out of Arizona, also visiting Texas this coming weekend for the spring game.
By the way, so Cameron Miller bringing his question up at 9:21. I think that's a good question. So what happens to the recruits this week if spring game canceled? Well, look, if the spring game were to get canceled, Texas just have a practice in the bubble more than likely, and just it's a weekend where they host the recruits. I mean, so from a recruiting standpoint, nothing changes. I'm one that thinks this. I don't think the spring game is impactful in recruiting. What's impactful around the game is the same thing that's impactful around the practice, and maybe more so in practice, is if these out-of-state D linemen come in, all 3 of those guys make it in, the first thing that they're going to look at, if Derry Norris from Spruce Creek, when he gets into town with his father, the first thing he's going to look at isn't going to be, oh, man, look at how many people are here for the spring game. That's not it. It's going to be watching Kenny Baker work with the defensive linemen. It's having conversations in the meeting room, going to the meeting room, having conversations with Kenny Baker, Steve Sarkisian, asking the Texas defensive line recruits, what do they like about Kenny Baker? What's his coaching style, et cetera. That's the biggest thing with these visits. So there's a reason Texas tries to get as many or more kids to their scrimmage days to sit in those meeting rooms and watch these coaches coach. That's what these visits are around. I mean, like, and we'd said it before earlier in the week, if DeCorian Moore, he has regional track meet, if he can't make him going to the spring game, does nothing. Attending the spring game does nothing for Texas chances with DeCorian Moore. Same if Kelshawn Johnson's on campus this weekend, as I expect. The spring game doesn't impact it. It's everything around the spring game that impacts the recruiting for Texas. So I think they practice in the bubble as their final spring practice if they cancel the game. And the recruits would be there, and it'd be more recruiting time for Texas.
Ugh, I want them to. I want to see them, Jerry. That's not what I want. I want to see them play. I hope we get a chance, man. I hope we get a chance to see all of them. To your point, seeing all the young receivers new faces as receivers, and what their chemistry has done with Quinn over the the 3 or 4 weeks they've now been together. You know, there's just a lot of things that I think a lot of fans would be disappointed in not seeing. However, understandable. We've got to get going on some stuff here today. I want to remind everyone, please make sure if you get a chance, come out and see us 3-6 today at the Posse East. I'm buying the first round for everybody. Jerry is going to, I don't know what Jerry might do. He might stand on his head and do a keg stand. something like that. Rod will be there. Rod will be there rooting him on. We'll ask Jerry to do a Manscaped read for everyone, just for fun.
By the way, if y'all didn't see it, we had our trivia night last night, and Rod Babers and CJ and Derek Johnson, the great Derek Johnson, went at it, and I'll give Rod his props. He came out on top. But I won the first one on a technicality, so to speak. So I hosted last night. But if you didn't get a chance to watch that, take a peek. It's pretty funny when Rod and Derek Johnson are on there in a Texas Longhorns trivia contest.
Derek actually did really, really well. He started slowly and then started picking up a little steam there.
It's different. And that's what we said, like having played the game once, it helps a lot. And I kind of said it was like last night when we were doing it, I was like, dude, look, like the first time I was at ESPNU and we used to do Recruiting Nation shows, the first show I ever got thrown into was College Football Live, and the red light came on and I was supposed to talk about Alabama recruiting. And you can practice it all you want, but it's different, right? It's different watching Jeopardy versus playing Jeopardy live on TV, right? So you have to get the hang of it and get your mind working and kind of pick up on how the questions are going to be. But there's definitely, if you've done it before, there's an advantage to that.
All right, y'all. That's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. We want to thank them for sponsoring along with Manscaped and Factor. Thank you all for tuning in. We definitely appreciate the support. If you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime and every time that we go live or just post a video. And be sure also to head on over to ontexasfootball.com, become an OTF OG. Right now, running that special, you have to use the promo code OTFOG, and you'll get a full year for $39.95. That's over at ontexasfootball.com.
Come be part of the club, man. Fast-growing club.
That's right. Fast-growing indeed. And we couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you for all of your support. We definitely appreciate it. We truly do. So for Jerry Hamilton and Bobby Burton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Welcome.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.